Did you hear how dry my hands are?
I did. When you rubbed them together, I was like, "Aye."
So crusty and ripped.
I got a free, I think it was from Grove. I ordered from Grove, and they give you, this isn't sponsored, but if Grove wants to sponsor us, I would die. Mm-hmm. I love them so much. But they sent me, I ordered cleaning supplies, whatever. And then they sent me an all-natural rose-scented hand cream. Oh, and it's been my lifesaver
that
for the past week and a half.
Incredible.
It's from, I think it's Rooted Beauty. I don't know if you've heard of them, but.
No, I haven't.
I bought their micellar water, too.
Nice.
And
nice.
I'm very excited to try it. So, anyway.
I love that. I might, hold on. I'm going to turn up my record level just a little bit, and then I'm going to turn up my gain a little bit, because it seems like it's quiet. It looks like it's quiet.
That's fine. I know I'm very quiet today, but that's just because I'm so low energy.
Yeah.
And I'm feeling a little dead inside. Yeah, guys, so Addie and I just talked for like 20 minutes, and she's going to have to hear all of this again. But basically, I know last week I told you guys I was going to do Catherine Knight. That's not going to happen, because earlier in the week on Monday, I had a very good talk with my therapist about a big life change that I need to make that I'm not going to announce. It's really not that big of a deal for anyone other than me. It's just like a career thing. But once something finally happens with that, I'll get into it more. But yeah, so I was feeling a little overwhelmed and like depressed. And so, you know, I watched two documentaries on Catherine Knight and immediately was like, you know, I'm very numb to this case because I know a lot about it. But also, I don't think I can handle all the research because there's so much to do for it. So I'm going to ask you in advance not to research it, because I will be doing it next week or the week after, depending on, I don't know if Addie wants to do her case next week or not. So then I ended up with a gnarly ear infection, and I was in so much pain and dizzy and tired that I couldn't do the research after I was done being mentally ill. So I spent a good amount of time in urgent care yesterday, and then I was like, you know what? Today's a good day to do the stories that Michael Extreme has sent me, and also my personal listener story that Addie has listened to already, but it's a good one. I have other ones, but this is like a really good one. So
I don't, like, nothing's coming to mind for me right now about what it can be, so I think I'm still gonna be surprised even if I have heard it before. So
I don't know how you could not know which one this is, but
is it a
maybe because I read it to you at like 2 a.m. but
wait, was it the one that you told me when you came over here?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So basically, when I wrote it, I sent it in as a listener story to Morbid, and I actually haven't listened to like any of their listener stories since I sent this in February, so I don't even know if they covered it or not. But I modified it so that it wasn't like I was talking to Ash and Elena, and so it's like just my story now. And it was 9 pages long, so now it's 7, which is still a lot, but I like to think that I'm a good writer, and I'm fucking hilarious, and if you don't think so, I'm sorry for your loss. But since Addie's already heard it, I think I'm going to start with Mike's stories.
Okay. That sounds good.
Do you have anything you have to say before I jump in today?
Did I talk about... I can't remember if the news I got this week, like my life update, if that was last week or if that happened after.
It happened after, but also don't tell them the location.
No, I won't.
Okay, then continue.
So I don't know if I ever talked about this, but like I graduated and got my associates in the spring. And because college is a scam, I wasn't able to go to college, like continue my schooling this fall, but I did apply and I got news this past week that I got accepted. So
into her top school, by the way.
Yeah, into my top choice, which is very exciting. And I'm going to be studying biology and hopefully find something that's worth me getting my master's in, because I hate myself. But
that's me when I've literally switched careers like 4 times and cannot pick anything, and I decided to start a podcast. So.
I mean, I think we're doing really well with the podcast. So
I think so, too. I think we're I mean, our analytics have gone up consistently. Like, they've gone up probably about 20% every week, mm-hmm.
which isn't great.
A whole lot, but it's great.
Still great. Yeah. Yeah.
It's not going horribly.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. But as for that, it kind of coincides a little bit with the podcast. This new, I did just want to say it because I'm very excited, but also I'm starting in January. So as of right now, I of course still plan to be on the podcast. I don't know what's to come. I have no idea what my schedule is going to look like or how it's going to change. So I'll still be here. I just don't know how often I will be doing cases. I will try my very, very hardest to do research, and because I love doing it. It's not that I don't like doing it.
Yeah, of course.
But yeah, that's just an update. We'll see how it goes trying to juggle everything, but I'm sure it'll be fine because it doesn't take us that long to do this. So
no, and I don't mind doing research. It's easy for me. It gives me something to do. So if I have to do it a couple weeks in a row, like, I don't care, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Or if I have to do it the research until you get out of college, I don't care. What was I gonna say? Oh, I was gonna say that it's fun because we're both science people. And so I feel like once you're kind of back in your element, not that the science of decomposition is fun, but it's just going to be interesting to have two scientific perspectives, one chemistry perspective and one biology perspective on everything.
Yeah, I know. I'm excited. And I think my very tiny, minuscule background in forensics and forensic chemistry is also going to be interesting and make things interesting.
I felt bad because I was out to dinner when you FaceTimed me that you got into school, and then as soon as I got home I just started crying because I was so happy for you, and then I forgot to call you back.
No, it's okay.
I don't even remember why I forgot to call you back. I think it was just late and I was tired.
No, I mean, I know how you feel about it, and thank you. I appreciate your support. You're the best.
Yeah, because we recorded Thursday and you found out Friday.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't even
remember. Or we recorded Friday. I don't know. One of the two. Yeah, I think we recorded Friday and then...
No, I think we recorded Thursday and then I got news sometime. I think it was that Friday that I got the news.
It was, because Fridays are dinner night.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Justin and I, we go to the diner every Friday. It's not date night. It's just we like the diner because it's cheap and I like will die for breakfast food
Oh my god, really quick, sorry, I know we're trying to get started.
Please.
I'm going to a diner tonight and I'm so excited to go because it's a new diner I haven't been to yet.
Oh really?
Yeah, so, and I'm going out with my friends, which I'm very excited about, but I'm hoping they have hash browns. Like, you just mentioned diner and the first thing that came to mind for me are hash browns. If they don't have hash browns, I think I might burn the place down. Just kidding, I'm not actually going to do that, but it's a disclaimer. But yeah,
I'm the pyromaniac, not her. That's a story for another time. I've never actually set a place or anything on fire. I just used to, when I was growing up, I used to collect sticks when I was camping and put, like, Cheerios and Fruit Loops on the sticks and watch them burn in the fire. Like, I would roast them like marshmallows, except not roast. I would just set them on fire. And so... my family had to stop buying Fruit Loops and Cheerios for camping trips because I would just want to put them on a stick and burn them.
I love how... Well, I guess you can't really take fire away from, like, a camping trip because it's kind of essential. I was gonna say, why don't they just take the fire away from you, but knowing
because
you,
my brother and I were the same. We would find anything that we could burn and just burn it. we still do that. It's so bad. I'm literally almost 22 years old and my brother is turning 24 and we
oh yes, the fire, it feeds my soul,
burn everything. Oh my god. Anyway.
I love you so much.
I love you too. But back on the diner topic real, real quick before I start, because I'm a psychopath and I can't just keep my brain on track. I have been craving that buffalo sauce from that diner I went to when I was in New York.
Oh,
that buffalo
the
chicken
wings?
That I got.
Yeah.
That the sauce they put on it, I've been craving and I don't know what it is. and it's killing me. I've tried so many different buffalo sauces, and none of them compare.
I bet you it's some, like, weird generic brand that they just order. Because it's not like their food is, like, anything special.
Oh, absolutely not. It's diner, I mean, we got, they literally gave us our mozzarella sticks frozen. But
I still, you know, enjoyed what? Myself.
You know what I still did not try that I think it was the Sweet Baby Ray's creamy barbecue sauce, or creamy buffalo sauce. Yeah. And I was out with Justin, he's like, well, what if it has blue cheese in it? And then I panicked because there's penicillin and blue cheese, mm-hmm. like, coincide because they're mm-hmm. made out of the same mold.
Yeah.
And so I panicked, but he was like, yeah, what if it has blue cheese in it? I was like, God damn it. And it didn't say it had blue cheese in it, but I still panicked. So I think next time I go out, I'm buying it.
Yeah.
Also, I broke the sink this week and I'm still upset about it. So it's okay. I bought the part to fix it. And then...
Handyman.
You know what? I'll talk to you about this after the fucking sink. After we record. Remind me after we record to tell you about the sink. Anyway, I'm getting into this. So let me move my mic real quick. So as I said, I'm going to do, I guess this is kind of a listener's episode. Mike sent me, I think, like 6. So.
We love you, Mike.
I would literally die for him.
He's feeding us so much content and I'm here for it because I don't think he knows how much it helps us.
I have 2 entire pages of just Mike's stories. So I have, the first page is the first email, or from the thread of the first emails we ever sent, and mm-hmm. he was just super sweet, and I just thought I had to clarify that. I don't know. I'll get to it. Mm-hmm. So it says, I've been working security for 7 years now on this stretch, but I've done security details while in the Army, so here's a good one for you. I'm working the night shift at the mall doing my patrol when I get a call from my dispatch to go check out what I call Bob's store. He didn't want to give the name of the real mm-hmm. store, which mm-hmm. is whatever, so we're calling it Bob's. I go to the store and I look inside it, go in the back corridor, and everything is locked and secure. By the time I come back out, I see PD has arrived on scene. I went out and met with the officer. We had our usual greeting. Hey, Mike, what's up? Hey, Joe, just a routine alarm. All right, cool. So we both walk in and check things out together, and we both see a shadow figure. We both called into our dispatch, me to mine and him to his. Call it code 4, which is the all clear. Joe said, no biggie, just Bob's ghost.
No biggie? Who's Bob? No biggie. I want to know what Bob's story is.
So that's not explained. So I think it was the guy, well, the store was called Bob, so I'm assuming Bob's the...
Yeah. Yeah.
I think he actually told this on his podcast, so he goes more in detail.
Okay.
Police dispatch said over the radio, oh, is that Bob's ghost again? Joe replied, yeah. He told me that this ghost will trigger the alarm every so often. Nothing to worry about. We hung out for a few minutes before we both got calls to go do something else.
I love that it's just a known thing, you know? That they are just like, oh, it's Bob's ghost. No problem.
There's a couple where it's like, oh yeah, it's just this person's ghost. And he's like, all right.
I love that.
This next one scared the shit out of me. I'm sure it was even worse for him. He says, another time, same place, I was working second shift. So this must have been at the same, I think it was a mall? It was at the mall. I see a guy covered in tattoos and I asked him if I could help him with anything. He said he was sure he left his bike on the bike rack. Now, I'm not one to judge on appearance. Hell, I have tattoos, so I thought maybe he is a tattoo artist, but what gave things away was his demeanor. I asked the make, model, and color of the bike, and he gave a general answer. I asked, what kind of lock did you have? He said, you know, the wire kind with a padlock. I said, okay, let me get your name and contact info. He refused. He was getting antsy. We already have a police officer on site, so I called into dispatch with the information he gave me. I will call him Officer Jones, and he got on the radio. He asked for the description of the man, and I gave it to him. He said, exercise extreme caution. I will be there in less than a minute. So I was talking to my new friend, and within a minute, no joke, we were both surrounded by 5 police units. He was told not to move, and I was given the order to handcuff our tattooed friend.
Hmm.
Turns out he had escaped from prison and was on the run. He somehow managed to get out of prison where he was doing a life sentence for first-degree murder and drug trafficking charges.
Oh, no. Oh, no. That is a pickle. That's a pickle. I would shit myself.
It's not great.
Shit in my pants in that moment. Glad that the police got there quickly, though.
Like that he's just having small talk and he, like, doesn't know that this guy is a criminal.
Yeah.
And good so on the him cops for just trying... show up.
Yeah.
And he's like, what? I got to arrest. Oh, shit. I'm sorry. Man. I know we're friends, but I have to arrest you.
Good on him for not passing judgment at first glance, though. Sorry, man. I got to handcuff you because you're supposed to be in prison right now. But hope everything goes well.
Mike really said, I'm not going to profile based on appearance.
Yeah.
I love a man.
We love a respectful king.
He's so cute. I would die for him. So then he writes, for some reason, he was not the first person I've had to detain and handcuff for felony charges. In the 7 years of my job, I have been shot at. Not fun. Had knives
not
pulled on
fun.
Me.
No shit.
This is what he writes. Had knives pulled on me at least 6 times and have been involved in active shooting calls twice. Talk about stress.
Oh my god.
But
Mike,
I always.
How are you so chill about talking about this?
He's so funny because everything he sends me is like, yeah, it's no big deal.
Yeah.
I'm like, it is a big deal, homie.
I poop myself.
He goes, but I always follow rule number one, go home safe at the end of my shift.
I love that.
And then this was his closing line at the end of the email, which isn't important to the story at all, but I think it's adorable and wholesome. He writes, if I may say, your podcast is great. I really appreciate the time and research you put into every episode. He sent this to me, I think, around, like, episode 10. So it was a really long time ago.
Yeah. He's been here from the jump.
Yes. Now I have other Michael Extreme stories.
This is just a Michael Extreme appreciation podcast
episode, yeah. Forever. So there's three here. So he sent me, well, he sent an email like a week ago and then I never opened it because I'm an asshole, but also just because I've been depressed and like not on my phone or anything. So, and then I texted him, I was like, I do want you to know that I did get your email, I'm so sorry, but also I'm gonna be doing we're doing the recording of your stories tomorrow. And he's like, oh, I have more, I'll send them to you. So then he sent me two more.
Oh, nice.
So this is the one that we got earlier in the week, and it says, when I was living in California, I was a kitchen manager at a sports bar. It was located in a strip mall that had the sports bar, 2 fast food restaurants, some retail stores, and a grocery store. The front was the bar area, so this is like the bar itself.
Mm-hmm.
The bar area, then the kitchen, and then in the back was our prep area. So I'm assuming the kitchen was, like, between the prep and the bar.
Mm-hmm.
After I closed the kitchen, I did my inventory for the food order, cleaned up the back prep area, and mopped. As I waited for the floor to dry, I went to the bar and had a beer. Then I walked back and noticed footprints on my freshly mopped floor. I went back to the bar. Hey, you know I mopped. Why are you walking around back there? The bartender and cocktail server both looked at me, and they said they never went in the back. They both said, oh, it was probably Frank.
Who's Frank?
That's what the next line is. Who's Frank, I asked. I was told that Frank and his wife both owned the big plot of land that was developed into this strip mall. They owned a land development company. Somewhere along the way, problems came up between Frank and his wife.
Mm-mm.
Apparently, his wife killed him in a brutal manner on the property.
Mm-mm.
He is said to still haunt everything and visit the businesses on the property.
No.
Fucking Frank.
Frank, man, why don't you just, like, find your peace, my guy?
Probably because he was brutally murdered by his wife.
Yeah, but, you know, like, forgive and forget, you know?
I mean,
I'm kidding.
Guess,
that's
but
terrible. That's so terrible.
No, it's fine. I know what you mean.
I mean, I feel like Frank's probably harmless and he's just, like, out of spite is just, like, I'm going to walk on your wet floor, bitch.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I feel
you
like
you have
it
to mop again.
Yeah. Yeah. But is he, like, actually harmless?
Yeah. I think the most harmful thing he would do is walk on your freshly mopped floor.
Yeah. Good for Frank. Sorry that you died, guy. But, like, I'm sorry. Is that in? I don't know who Frank is.
Next one reads, so, as you know, I am former Army and have worked in private security for the past 7 years. my 7 years of experience, I have witnessed shootings, stabbings, and attempted kidnapping. Or, sorry, an attempted kidnapping, been shot at 3 times, and assaulted probably 3 dozen times. I stopped counting.
Oh my god.
Just, it happens.
That's so many things, so many times.
I know. He's so funny.
And he's so, like, sorry, just a real quick sidebar, but, like, he's such an optimistic person from what I know of Mike. And, like, it just, good for you, man. I'm so sorry that all this shit happened to you. And I guess maybe it comes with the territory, but also, like, I don't know. Like, no one deserves to get that.
Yeah, but his entire outlook is like, yeah, it happens.
Yeah.
I stopped counting.
Yeah.
I'm like, what?
Good on you.
Not to mention the multiple death threats made to me. Oh, I forgot to read that part. The attempted kidnapping goes as follows. I was on patrol in the mall, and outside in the parking lot was the basic carnival. Then while on patrol inside, I get this lady who came up to me in a full panic. I asked her if I could help her. She said yes, that someone just tried to grab her 10-year-old daughter and the 2 kids she was with. Immediately, I called into dispatch with the information I had. The mall was immediately put on lockdown, within 5 minutes, we had police coming in, probably 15 officers and detectives. The kids were okay, just scared, and a bolo was put out. Last I heard, the guy in question was wanted for the same thing and was caught somewhere in Southern California.
Wow.
And then the last one. This is on my time in the light rail in Phoenix. And because I'm stupid, I had to look that up because I didn't know what it was. It's just like a train rail.
Mm-hmm.
Commuter rail, whatever. That's what we call it in Boston, but whatever. Our shift was going well. We got a call for a welfare check on a platform. Those are very common. My partner and I went and found the guy. I asked him if he was doing okay and asked if he needed any help. Then the guy ran up to me right in my face with a weapon. He said he was going to stab me and watch me bleed out.
I'm sorry?
I just stood there with my partner shoulder to shoulder and I said, well, I'm right here. Go for it.
The balls on this man. Oh my God.
The next thing he says to the guy had me, this is when I texted you, I was fucking screaming. I was crying laughing. So he raised his hand and took a swing at me. I stepped back and grabbed my pepper spray. Is that all you got, Barbie?
Stop. Pause. Is that all you got, Barbie? Can that please be the title of this episode? Because that's so iconic. 1,000%.
Is that all you got, Barbie?
That's so iconic. I love that so much.
The next thing he wrote, Addy.
I'm stealing that.
Yes, I'm a smartass.
Ew, I can't. He tore that man to shreds in one... One sentence. Is that all you got, Barbie?
Well, and then he pissed the fucking guy off because then the guy goes, I want to cut you and watch you die.
I'm sorry. That's not funny.
No, but, like, I'm still laughing at Barbie.
Yeah. I know that man felt so little in that moment. I just know that he felt, like, so powerless because you're swinging a knife at a person and they go, is that all you got, Barbie? Like, there's no way you still feel like you have the upper hand in that situation.
Well, then Mike goes, you don't scare me. Work on it.
I'm so dead right now. I'm so dead. Work on it.
When I post this, like, episode for the Instagram, I'm gonna Photoshop Barbie with a knife. And then he goes, at this time, our sergeant pulled up as well as PD. He took off running. Not sure if they caught him or not.
Not a care in the world. Not a care in the world. I hope they caught him. I bet they did.
Oh, 1,000%. He probably had, like, pink heels on, you know, doing his thing. He's a Barbie girl living in his own world. I need to breathe.
Work on it. Oh, my God.
That reminds me of the episode where this is, like, totally off topic. Well, it's on topic, but the episode of Bob's Burgers where they, like, Jeff the Ghost is in a box.
Yeah.
And Tammy's like, oh, this means, she says something like, this means you guys can forgive me for being horrible. And Zeke was like, no, fix yourself. That's what this reminds me of.
Yeah. Well, like, I don't know. So, as you know, I'm unhinged. And
oh, yes.
So, this is, like, a super random story. It has nothing to do with anything, but...
Okay.
I don't know where I got this from, but, like, whenever someone, like, catcalls me or, like, tries to, like, sexually harass me in public, I just have started barking at them.
You told me this!
Yeah, and so... my friend, like, I used to live in a pretty sketchy neighborhood. Like, it wasn't the best, but, like, it was safe enough to where I lived there. And my friends and I all got back to my apartment. We had a friend visiting, and there was a guy, like, sitting in his car outside of, like, that apartment complex that was next to ours. And we're walking, and he starts talking to my friend, who's very good looking, and I, like, hear him from his car, and he's, like, catcalling her, and I, like, barked at him, and then he tried to say another word, and I was like, rah, 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 rah. And we, like, walked into the house, and he, like, just didn't have anything to say. Like, he was just sitting there, like, I think more confused than intimidated, because a 5'7" small, tiny little woman barking,
like,
at you is
not
that...
I don't fuck with a bitch who's gonna bark,
yeah,
at me.
Yeah. So, I mean, that doesn't really have anything to do with anything. I just thought that that was, like...
Addie's personal listener stories, everybody.
Yeah. Bark at people.
The moral of the story, bark at people who sexually harass you.
Yeah.
And they'll leave you alone.
Yeah.
Speaking of sexual harassment, let's get into my story.
Oh, yeah.
I can laugh at it because it happened to me, but thank you, Mike. Before I forget, thank you for sending those in.
Yes,
we very clearly enjoyed that.
We love you. I love you.
Yes, I also love you. I do want to make a disclaimer. This nothing like severely horrible happens to me, thank God. But I do want to say that this guy is horrible. I'm going to talk about some of the things he did. And also, you're getting a little more than a peek on the inside of my life. And this story kind of shares more about myself than I would like for people to know. But I feel like, I don't know, I feel like I'm ready to, you know, expose myself and be vulnerable. This could be, you know, the brain fog talking from being so tired and the side effects of my antibiotic that I probably will have an allergic reaction to later, but... You're not laughing, and
no.
I think it's because you know what's coming.
Well,
so
yeah.
Either that or you're uncomfortable.
No, I'm not. I just, like, had stomach gurgles, and I was afraid the mic picked them up. And then, I was listening to you, though, but
oh, okay.
I was just going to say, like, when you were telling this, the only parts that I found funny were just, like, the beginning of it, and then you, like, continued, and then I was like, oh, so... And I don't want to laugh at it because it's not funny, and I don't.
But
find
I crack
it funny.
Jokes throughout it. Because
yeah, which
this is supposed to be light. This isn't supposed to make you guys real depressed.
No. What else was I gonna say? Oh, that I'm proud of you for sharing this.
Yeah, I've been thinking about doing it for a while, but I was waiting, you know, for a time. Anyway. Also, there's screenshots that I'm gonna have to read, so it's gonna be awkward. Like, maybe I'll do his voice. But I'll do, like, a little bitch voice, and then I'll do my voice. I don't know. We'll see. When I was 18, I got a job at Starbucks. It's important for you guys to know that I'm 4'11 and look very young. Alongside that, I have a collagen defective disorder that makes doing everyday activities painful and difficult. Also, I'm changing the names in this story for privacy. Also, everything that I just said is relevant. I don't want you guys to think I'm just, like, oversharing for pity. When I started working, I was I like that you're shaking your head at me. When I started, can you tell I'm anxious because I'm violently sweating right now? When I started working, I was just about to graduate high school and was working my ass off. Usually I worked drive-through because my customer service voice got us lots of tips. There was always this one guy who came through. We'll call him Trevor. Trevor worked at the Starbucks not too far north of my location a few years back. It was maybe a 20-minute drive from mine. My friend Joanna told me she worked with him there before she transferred to my store. She said he left Starbucks to go into the Marines and was the nicest guy she'd ever met.
I'm sorry.
After you know what happened,
I
it's
know.
Funny.
Yeah.
They had a friends with benefits thing in high school, and she said she regretted not dating him. I assume Trevor always came to my Starbucks because it was closer to where he lived. His aunt would come in every day as well, but they never came in together. It wasn't until I graduated high school that I was working 35 to 40 hours a week. Drive-thru happened to be the least painful job for me, even though it was the least fun, so I spent 40 hours a week making small talk and chatting with privileged white people about the weather. Every now and then, I'd have a mega creep say, I'm the perfect size, or I'm too pretty to work in a place like this, but I usually just ignored it and kept on with my work. The way Addie is shaking her head in discomfort
right
now.
So gross.
Yeah, it was vile. I literally had a man come behind the counter, like an old-ass man come behind the counter one time.
Excuse me.
While I was working.
Stay in
your lane. They sent me home because the shift manager, who was like, he was huge, like very, very tall, and we were good friends, and he saw the rage on my face, mm-hmm. and he had to pull me back, and mm-hmm. he sent me home because mm-hmm. I almost punched an old man.
You should have. Who gave
I
him
thought
the
about
right?
it. I have so many stories from Starbucks. Where did I leave off? Oh, as I mentioned, I was on drive-thru a lot once I graduated, and everyone started noticing that Trevor would show up 3 to 4 times a day. I didn't mind, though. He was kind and tipped real well. I didn't assume anything about him because he was in his early 20s and was so well-mannered. He always called me miss, said please and thank you, and was polite every single time he was at the store, no matter who his cashier was. The only thing I could possibly say was off about him is that he ordered the same drink every single time, a Trenta Mango Dragon Fruit Refresher with 4 granulated sugars, and yes, he actually said granulated sugars. In November, I started cosmetology school, and my hours were cut to only 16 to 20 a week. I was on my feet all day at school, and working long shifts wasn't in my cards anymore. On top of that, the theater company I was working for promoted me. I became artistic director and was running an entire program full of hormonal middle school and high schoolers. This job became a massive advantage for me later in the story. Do you see why Justin thinks I'm dyslexic now?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We been knew that, though, but it's okay.
I know. Because it started to get cold, I couldn't work at drive-thru anymore. My asthma would flare up, and the cold caused me so much joint pain that I couldn't stand up for my entire shift. Luckily, since Joanna was on every night shift with me, we became really close, and she was super flexible with my condition. I started to pretty much only work counter and make drinks. Trevor still came through drive-thru 3 to 4 times a day, but now it was only at night during my shifts. I'll admit, I didn't think anything of it. I assumed he had started college and had class during the day or something. Maybe the dude finally got a damn job. I don't know how he could afford spending $20 a day on drinks without one. Unrelated now, but kind of related later, his winter drink was a venti hot decaf eggnog latte, which
so
gross.
Fucking disgusting.
Actually nasty.
Like, that's repulsive.
I had no clue about his drink change because I wasn't on drive-thru anymore since I was literally dying in the cold.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly, New Hampshire is a great place for me to live.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I forgot to indent this tab, and I'm going to do it right now because I have OCD, and it's not working. Tab. It's not working. Tab. Thank you. Okay. Sometimes when there were only 3 people on shift, I would grab a headset and tell funny stories with Molly and Joanna. And I usually pretty much only worked with Molly and Joanna because
mm-hmm.
I worked literally like 3:30 to 7:30. 3 or 4 days a week,
mm-hmm.
so it was just a very specific shift to have. Molly was only a few months younger than me, and she was my work bestie. I would talk on the headset when the store was dead, which meant I could also hear when someone was coming at drive-thru because it would ding. Every now and then, Trevor would say, hey, is Audrey working? I'd take his order and chat with him a bit through the headset, but someone would always hand the drink off to him. Around this time was when my ex started being a massive shitbag. Not that this excuses what I did, but I hated him. Also, I was 18 and I wanted attention from cute boys.
Obviously, yeah.
I'm out here exposing myself. On
no,
December 8th...
No, we love that, though. That's normal. That's normal.
Is it, though?
Yes.
Okay.
Because, I mean, unless we're just so similar and we're the only people that feel this, but I feel like that's a completely normal thing to feel.
I mean, I did hate him. I hated my ex so much. I hated being with him.
I never met him and I hate his guts.
Yeah, it's not great.
Ring his freaking neck. Not really,
so,
though. I don't have the upper arm strength to do that. Sorry, continue.
Ah! No, it's okay. On December 8th, this is still in 2018, I was still 18 years old, Trevor actually came into the store, and this was the first time I'd really seen him. He wasn't abnormally tall, maybe 6 feet, but he had a foot on me. Now, this was the first time I realized Trevor was a beefy motherfucker. One bicep alone was the size of both my thighs. I did gymnastics for 15 years, and I shit you not, I am all leg. Moving along with the story, I talked to Trevor in the store for 15-ish minutes while he drank his shit-stained latte and we talked about business school. I'm not even going to apologize for the people that like the eggnog latte, because you shouldn't.
Get when better I took taste.
My, get better
Work
taste.
On it.
Work on it. Is that all you got, Barbie?
I'm sorry. Continue.
When I took my makeup artistry program in 2016, I'd gotten certified for freelance business, and I was sharing tips with him to keep him from leaving. He was with one of his friends, so they took off, but before he left, he held my hand and said, "If you ever need anything, I'm here for you." I don't know why that makes me laugh. It's just so absurd. Not even 10 minutes later, the store got a call. I was out back washing dishes when Joanna gave me the phone. It was Trevor. "Hi, Audrey. I had a really great time talking with you tonight. Would you like to go for coffee with me sometime?" My stomach filled with butterflies because this handsome older man wanted to get coffee with me. I gave him my number without hesitation. If I were happy in my relationship, I never would have done this, and 3 years later, I still regret it with all my heart. This is how our first conversation went. All right, I gotta do the voices. "Hey, it's Trevor." Smiley face emoji. "Hey, what's up?" "About to shower and then eat. What about you? You 18 plus older, right?"
Creep. Creep.
"Yeah, why?" "Just making sure, that's all. I knew you were anyway. But yeah, we should talk, get to know each other, and hang out together. I was thinking coffee would be a good start."
That's such a weird way to phrase it, too. Like, that's such a weird way to phrase, like, "I want to get to know you." Like, "We should talk and hang out and do this a lot, and we should start here." Like, it's just a very strange...
I feel like it's when, you know how sometimes you try to have a conversation, or when you were younger, you would try to have a conversation with Siri just to see what would happen? This is what this conversation reminds me of. I said, "Yeah, I'd definitely love to hang out, but I should let you know I have a boyfriend. I don't really know what going for coffee entails, so I'm just covering my bases. Sorry if that came off as passive-aggressive. I'm not really sure how to word it over text without making it sound like I'm accusing you of anything." "Sounds good to me, and I respect that. It's all good, no worries." "It doesn't have to be coffee either. It can be something else and different. You are the lady, so I'll leave it up to you what you would like to do. You are all right. Don't worry about anything." He's so awkward.
Every text is just, like, making me cringe, and I don't know why. I mean, I know why, but, like...
Yeah, but it's so awkward.
Yeah.
It's like he's writing a fucking email.
Yeah.
I wrote, "I'm totally good with coffee. It's just finding time that's difficult. I'm sure you get that. You're really busy, too." And he said, "All right, coffee it is. It can be any time you want. Let me know when you're free. And if I am, then it workouts. He didn't write works out. He wrote workouts. Okay, Mr. Formal. I said,
like,
okay.
I interrupted you.
Yeah, but you interrupted me and then I interrupted you, so you go. I was just going to continue reading the screenshots. So.
From a third person perspective, like, it doesn't seem that bad. Like, we're kind of clowning on him for whatever, like, the way he talks, which, like, isn't a big deal.
We can clown on him. He's a piece of shit.
No, I know. And that's why, like, I'm just like, I don't know. Like, from a glance, like, when you first showed me this, it didn't seem that bad. And then you learn about, like, especially when you get into, like, later shit, not to, like, foreshadow or whatever. But,
I mean, I wouldn't be telling this if there wasn't anything to foreshadow.
Right. No, I know. But it's just so strange, like, seeing now how weird it is that he worded some of this stuff. I don't know.
Right. Like, because you know what happens.
Right. Okay. Continue.
Every time I read it, it's worse.
Yeah.
And I've gone over these so many times in the past 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
Just trying to psychoanalyze him. Like, it's so beyond me. And then what the police did to me was just so much. Like, all the adults around me that I confided in for help or, like, just someone to... It was fucking horrible. It's funny now to me because, like, I'm okay. Like, it didn't... Mm-hmm. I'm not scarred about it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But at the time, it was literally, it still is the worst thing that's ever happened to me. Right. So I said, "Is Starbucks okay? I know it's weird, but I just like sitting in there." And I didn't want to tell him it's because I don't know him and don't feel comfortable. But that was like, I know people there. It's a public place. I don't want to hang out with him in a place that I don't know, where the people don't know me, where the people don't know him. And he said, "Yeah, Starbucks is fine with me and sitting in there." Weird way. And then he goes, "Actually, you know what? Never mind. You have a boyfriend and I respect that. I'll see you and everyone in a while." at Starbucks and through the drive-thru. You know what I mean? I wouldn't want my girl hanging out with another dude, so I feel for him. Which, okay, does that not imply that he has a girlfriend? When he said, I wouldn't want my girl hanging out with another dude.
No, I don't not necessarily think that, like, I think it was more in the context he was talking about. Is like, in the if context, I had, yeah. If I had someone, which had he obviously yeah. doesn't and never will, I hope.
Well, his mugshot just got updated a year ago, so. Oop.
Yeah.
I said, yeah, that makes sense. If you change your mind, I'd be more than willing to hang out with you. And he said, all right, sounds good. I'll see you at Starbucks whenever I go again.
Mm-hmm.
That's the end of the screenshots from December 8th. So after this, I hadn't seen him in a while, assuming because I told him I had a boyfriend. He showed up again a few days later and told me he deleted the text messages. It seemed weird, but his aunt was a bit off, so I thought maybe he didn't want her to see them or something. He apologized for acting the way he did and that he thought I was really pretty and looking for something more. I told him that it's fine and I understood why he was upset. He left the store, but when I got home, he had messaged me again. It wasn't until just now as I was going through the text messages to attach them to this document, I realized he had actually followed me home from work that day and the next day. I haven't looked through these messages in 3 years now. Or no, it was 2 years when I wrote this, because I was traumatized for a really long time, but some information I'll give you later will prove that what he says meant he followed me home. The first set of messages are from December 11th and the second ones are from the 12th.
And this was a few days after he had said, oh, never mind, like, I'll see you guys.
This was 3 days, because he had said that on the 8th, and this was on the 11th.
Right.
And then he texted me again as if I did not have his contact and said, hey, it's Trevor.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I said, hey, what's up? He said, chilling, and you, how was your day? I said, I'm on FaceTime with my boyfriend and doing some homework. I'm pretty sore, but other than that, my day was good. What about you? And he goes, I rested all day long, went out for some quick cruises, but that's it. Hey, so I, and this is in the same text, but that's it. Hey, so I think as a friendly gesture, we should do that Starbucks meet. And then in another text, he goes, thank you for asking too, by the way, referring to the fact that I asked him how he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
I said, yeah, that sounds great. I'm glad you decided to go. And he said, all right, sweet. It's a go then. I feel the same way myself. When would work for you? And I said, Monday night works best for me. I have no free days other than that per week. But if that doesn't work, I can stay after one of my shifts since I only work till 7:30. He said, let's do Monday night then. When on Monday would be good? And I said, anytime after 6:15 works for me. He said, all right, after that sounds good to me then. So then on the 12th, he talks to me when I, like, literally right when I got out of work. And he said, good day at work today. I said, not gonna lie, it's been less than favorable.
So weird. Just, like, the fact that he,
right when I was just about to leave.
Right.
He said, I hope it gets better. And I said, I'm leaving now, thankfully. And he said, hope the rest of your night goes well. I said, yeah, I'm probably just going to watch Netflix and finish my homework. And he said, I'm watching a movie right now in my room. And I said, oh, cool. What movie? And he goes, but I'm out right now. But when I get back, I will.
What the heck? That always confuses me. That always confuses me.
Sounds like fun. And he goes, yeah, it's a cool movie, too. And I said, what movie? And he said, Silence. I said, I've never heard of it. And he goes, I don't doubt that at all.
Okay.
And I said, do I come off as that uncultured? And he said, you good. Don't worry. Nothing to worry about.
Who said I was worrying?
And then I said, what's the movie about? And he goes, it's about a very special person who wasn't supposed to be born. And as a fucking joke, I said, sounds like my birth. And he goes, don't be so hard on yourself. Be happy.
Oh my God. And in that Shut moment, the fuck you up. Were cured of your depression.
So then I wrote, like, in my story, I said, okay, Audrey, first of all, what the fuck were you thinking? You had just gotten home from work. You had just gotten home from work, and he texts you right as you pull into the driveway and says that he went out for some quick cruises. As in, hey, Audrey, I followed you home, and you didn't notice, you dumb bitch. Is it okay to victim shame when you're talking about yourself? I feel like it's fine in my case. Next on the Trevor followed me home evidence list. I said I was going home to watch Netflix and do my homework. And he's like, yeah, I'm watching a movie right now, but actually I'm out right now. But it's a cool movie about a special person who's not supposed to be born. Also, let's acknowledge how he nonchalantly says, be happy. Thanks, Trevor. You've cured my depression and resolved my trauma.
Yeah.
Excellent work, bud.
Yeah. Yeah.
The next screenshot is super creep status, and I still, for the love of God, don't know why I didn't pick up on any red flags. So I texted him and asked him how his latte was. And he said, it was really good. Did you make it? Are we still on for Monday? And I said, yes and yes. He said, it was delicious. Keep it up. You're a true barista. Thank you. Perfect. Sounds good.
It's only your job.
And I said, I can only stay till 7:15, 7:30-ish. Is that okay? And he says, you know what you're doing.
What is that supposed to mean?
I think he was referring to my latte.
Oh, okay, okay.
And I said, I do my best. And then he was referring to the time, and he said, that's all right. When are we meeting? And I said, is around 6 okay? And he said, that's all right.
Mm-hmm.
And so then I wrote in my essay, if you will, you know what you're doing doesn't sound super creepy or sexual to a sheltered 18-year-old virgin. I genuinely thought he was complimenting me on my job. Looking at this now with my tainted, unholy eyes, I wish I could go back and block his number and call the cops. So Monday finally rolls along. I hadn't shared these messages with anyone, not even my therapist, and I tell her everything. She did know, however, that I wanted to hang out with Trevor because he gave me attention that I never got from who I was dating at the time. I told my parents I was going to go tutor Molly in chemistry. Since I was a chemistry freak in high school and this was the first actual lie I've ever told, they believed me. I arrived promptly at 6, and the only cars in the parking lot were mine, Molly's, and Joanna's. There was a black car in front of the store, and I assumed it was just parked there since, well, it's a parking lot. Obviously, I didn't check if anyone was inside, because who the fuck does that? I got inside the store, and it's completely dead. No cars pulled in or out of the parking lot, and drive-thru had no customers. I put my belongings in the employee break room. I was there with Molly and Joanna, and because I had nothing better to do, I helped the girls close up. After an hour of waiting for Trevor, I decided to go back home. Just as I started to leave the building, Trevor finally walked in. No cars had entered or left the parking lot in that hour, which meant he had been watching me from the black car the whole time. I will never forget the feeling of him walking through the door. It was like I was face to face with darkness itself. I didn't notice until then how black and empty his eyes were, comparable to Richard Ramirez. The polite man who was always kind and smiling had disappeared instantly. At this point, I'd been in enough scary situations with dangerous men to know that panicking was the absolute worst response, so I did what every other theater director would do. I followed my instincts and acted my ass off. I sat him down at a small table near the door. He chose the seat facing the bar, probably so he could see what Joanna and Molly were doing. He insisted I get his drink since I got them for free, so I went to the counter and told Joanna he wanted his drink. She asked me if I wanted to make it myself, which was code for come behind the bar and talk. I walked around the counter, and because I'm so short, he couldn't see me behind the espresso machine. Before I said anything, I told Joanna and Molly not to make any facial expressions and continue working as if I'm not there. I whispered to them something wasn't right, and I felt I was in danger. Obviously, I could only leave for the amount of time it took me to make a drink, so I headed back after about a minute. When I sat back down, he glared at me with his cold, dead eyes and said, "You drive a silver Toyota Corolla with two pink stickers and a pride flag on the back." Then he proceeded to perfectly recite my license plate number. I looked out of the window to look at my license plate. He got all 7 numbers correct. I chuckled. I don't even know my own license plate number. You have a great memory.
How you kept your composure during this boggles my mind.
I don't know. Then this creepy fuckhead replies with, "I'm very observant, Audrey. I've been watching you for 8 months and I know a lot about you."
So fucking weird. So, oh my god, I would cry. I would cry on the spot.
I don't know. I'm very good in bad situations, and I don't know how. I'm so mentally ill. I don't know how I handle anything.
But you, like, what you did was, like, right, though. The way you went about that was a smart way to go about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. On the outside, this is the part that made you laugh. On the outside, I was cool as a cucumber. On the inside, I felt like that dog meme where he's sitting outside or sitting inside the house on fire drinking coffee and says, "This is fine." Except it wasn't fine. I was just about ready to bludgeon this bitch over the head with a napkin dispenser. I smiled and asked him what made him want to observe me so closely. All he said is that I was interesting for his research, so naturally I asked about his research. He told me he was in the Marines but left to be an undercover cop. He wanted to learn about people on his own before he met them to train his mind or some bullshit like that. He told me he wanted to work in New York to take down, quote, bad guys, his words, not mine, that sell drugs, use drugs, are alcoholics, and hurt/rape women and children. How quaint, Trevor. Because I'm a theater director, I was very well off in the acting portion of this mess. I was also very well acquainted with understanding mental illness. I love my actors dearly, but no mentally stable person joins theater. The 5 years of learning symptoms and triggers of many different mental illnesses really paid off. I studied everything he said as he was talking to me. I made sure to keep the conversation directed at him, since it seemed to me he suffered from schizophrenia and narcissistic personality disorder. Thanks Jesus, I was right, because I was able to deflect the situation safely and leave. When the time came that I decided I was in the clear to get out, I told him I had to study for my final. I started toward the back of the store, and he became agitated. I reminded him that my bag and my coat were in the back room, and I was able to get there safely. There was no way to get into the employee break room from outside. You had to go through the bar. Since Joanna was out there and they were friends, I knew he wouldn't cross that line. Still, I grabbed my pepper spray from my bag and held my keys in the other hand Wolverine style in case I needed to get stabby.
Mm-hmm.
I failed to mention before that I have no problem getting in fights. I beat the shit out of people his size and I would do it again. I don't lose. What's scary was the information he had about me and who he would hurt to get what he wanted from me. After about 20 minutes, the adrenaline wore off and I found a spare headset out back. I asked Molly and Joanna if he was still there. They said he was gone and there was no one else in the store. I did all I could do at that point, uncontrollably sobbed and screamed at the top of my lungs. The next day, Joanna texted Molly and I to let us know that her mom was able to do some digging. She worked for security at the local airport and was able to access files that weren't on public record. Trigger warning, children are involved. What's on public record is that in July 2015, when he was 20, he hung out with a girl and he raped her. In the document I received, he kidnapped a 15-year-old girl after her mother had told him not to come near her child. He then drove her to his house and raped her in his basement. Not even a week later, he did the same thing to another 15-year-old girl. Apparently, he was put on trial for this, and he was let off because he's schizophrenic. A few years later, in 2017, he had rape charges filed from two more minors, but Joanna's mom couldn't find any further evidence on this case. Once again, he was let off for schizophrenia. Oh, yeah, and he was never in the Marines.
That part always gets me.
Yeah.
That he
at this point
never... He just lied about everything.
He's just a bullshitter.
Yeah.
At this point, I was more scared for the kids at my theater job. This guy knew everything about me. Mm-hmm. I never would have been able to forgive myself if he did something to one of the kids. For all I know, this pedophile could have followed me to the theater. The next few weeks to come were very difficult for me. I was petrified of the police, and I still hadn't told my parents what happened. It became apparent that Trevor knew my schedule and was only showing up when I worked. It got to the point where sometimes I'd have to park down the street and another coworker would come get me. Every time Trevor came to the drive-thru, the shift manager ushered me to the break room and stayed with me until he left. I bet you're wondering, Audrey, why didn't the manager do anything to help you? Well, this is where it gets worse. I notified my store manager of what was going on and asked her to help me get the police involved. Her exact words were, "You're an adult, figure it out yourself." Saying I was ripshit is an understatement. Luckily, my very supportive friends at work threatened to call the cops on him if he showed up for another one of my shifts. Then he never came back to Starbucks again. The end. JK, bitch. Not the end. One day, I ended up staying late to help close. That's pretty much what you do when you don't want to screw over your coworkers after BOGO Frappuccino Day. I don't remember exactly if I only stayed an hour late or ended up staying for the whole closing shift, but I do remember it was pitch black outside.
Mm-hmm.
After every shift, I went out to start my car so I wouldn't have an asthma attack from driving a cold car. I walked halfway through the parking lot before I noticed a note wedged in the handle of my car door. Basically, I shit my pants right then and there. I bolted the fuck back inside crying and called my ex to come get me. Remember when I said he was a shitbag? Yeah, buckle up. When he answered the phone, I was having a meltdown, and I told him what I found. His response? Wow, you're fucking unbelievable. I do something nice and leave a note for you at work, and you can't even give me the benefit of the doubt. Not everything has to do with Trevor, you know.
Oh my god, I hate him.
Me too.
Why would you think that that's a good idea after the shit that you just went through? Like, I'm sorry, no.
To be fair,
and then
this
to
was
get
like
mad
3 months
at you
after,
upset.
But still.
No, but still, like, to get
it's
upset at you because you were, like, upset about that. That's a very normal thing to be upset about.
He got mad at me because he got us in a car accident and then I had to go to the hospital. And he was mad at me for going to the hospital. Like, he was literally the worst.
I'm gonna fart in his eye.
Give him pink eye?
Yeah, in both eyes. Continuously. I want to
give double blindness.
Chronic pink eye. Yeah.
Me being me, because I mean, I'm like, I as much as I say I'm like a very not great person, I am a pretty good person.
You're a great person.
As much as I hate to admit it.
No, you really are.
So me being me understood why he was upset, but I was pissed. It was completely unnecessary for him to have spoken to me that way after months of trauma from being stalked.
Yeah.
I hung up, walked out to my car, and I put the note in my center console without reading it. I didn't end up reading it until I cleaned my car after we broke up. It just said I love you in big black marker. Romantic. So
wow,
for real,
not even the bare minimum.
Nope. So for real, Trevor stopped showing up on my shifts after the bros threatened him. His aunt actually came into the store to formally apologize to me. Apparently, he hadn't been taking his medication, but since they didn't live together, she didn't do anything about it. Around March, he started coming at very particular times and very particular days. Whose shifts were those? None other than Violet, a 17-year-old who had just started working there. He made many advances toward her at the drive-thru and tried to give her his number. When she rejected him since, one, she's a minor, and two, a flaming homosexual, he went so far as to follow her home one night. She felt extremely unsafe and violated, so she confided in one of our shift supervisors. So this badass shift supervisor goes right over our store manager's head and calls the damn district manager. That's when shit finally starts to get done, or at least seems like it. He sat Violet and I down to talk, but I was the only one who shared anything. Violet wanted nothing to do with this anymore and pretty much just went back to work. I told the district manager everything that happened to me, but left Violet out of it. That was her story to tell. A few weeks later, I got a voicemail from the police. Fucking awesome. They asked me to come in early for my shift to talk to a detective, so I did. I went in the back room, and wow, I had never seen anyone that tall. It was some Jack and the Beanstalk type shit. I was Jack, and he was the overwhelmingly tall beanstalk, and at the top of the beanstalk was a giant, in the form of a shiny bald head. This dude was worse than the LAPD, no word of a lie. Detective Dickhead looked at me and in a booming voice yelled, "Take a seat." Me, being the overly sensitive wimp that I am, started crying and sat down. He made me talk about what happened while I was violently shaking. He wouldn't allow Joanna in the room with me to calm me down. Every time I stuttered, he made me repeat what I said as if I were lying to him. That day, I happened to be using my full leg brace, and he asked about my condition. He then implied that I was making myself an easy target for Trevor because I'm disabled. I finally finished talking after what felt like hours, and he demanded I write a police report. He said it was optional, but if I did... He said it was optional, and if I wrote it, I'd have to face Trevor in a court and testify. What I asked what would happen if I didn't. He told me, if you don't write this report, it's going to be your fault when he kidnaps and rapes more little girls. He proceeded to say that since Violet wanted nothing to do with this, my case wasn't even solid enough, even though I had witnesses. First of all, isn't it illegal to bully someone into writing up a police report? Second, how are you going to look a scared victim in the eye and tell her it's her fault when she's not the one going out and hurting children? Third, if anyone's to blame, it's you guys for letting him off.
Yeah.
Fourth, if you're also insistent that he's schizophrenic, get him professional help. He's clearly suffering and needs a psychiatric doctor.
Yeah.
Anyway, I wrote the report, and that's the last I heard about the case. He was banned from Starbucks permanently, but I quit in April due to my Ehlers-Danlos. I told my parents what happened after 5 months of balling it all up. When I told my parents, I also told my best friend and showed her Trevor's mugshot. Apparently not too long before he stalked me, he would wait for her by her car at the grocery store where she worked a few towns over. When she notified the police, they said he was mentally ill and couldn't help it.
What do you mean he couldn't help it?
Yeah.
It's not an excuse to stalk people and do the things that he did. He's a fucking monster.
Yeah. In November of 2019, I was broke as shit and really needed to work again. The day Starbucks rehired me, the police called me and asked if I wanted to go and watch his trial.
No thanks.
They weren't using my written report against him, only what they heard through the grapevine of Violet's story. I told them to go fuck themselves. I wasn't going to sit in a courtroom with Trevor and a bunch of cops that were going to let him off, which is exactly what happened. You guessed it, schizophrenia.
I hate him, and I hate everyone who didn't help do anything.
Yeah.
So upsetting.
I like how none of it had a happy ending.
Yeah, well, I mean, you're here now, and you're safe, you know what I mean? But like, at the time, it's just, like, so disturbing.
Yeah.
Both the actual incident and how it was handled. Hate him. Hate him.
I also hate him. The creepiest part is that, like I said, it's important to the story that I look young.
Mm-hmm.
And to find out that he's literally a pedophile.
Yeah.
And that also, he still asked me if I was over 18 or 18 and over whatever, but I know that it's because I look young.
Yeah.
That's why he targeted me. And also because, like, with minors, the parents have to get involved, but because I'm not a minor, I would have to deal with all of the shit myself. Right. And I wouldn't have help.
Right.
And it just, like, the amount of thought that he put into that, so fucked.
So disturbing and disgusting and repulsive.
And the fact that he followed Violet home kind of is what proves that he followed me home.
Yeah.
Along with those texts that, like, he's being a fucking creepazoid. But
right. Gross. Ew.
Thanks for coming to my TED Talk. Am I allowed to say that? Can I say TED Talk? Probably not.
What do you mean? Why wouldn't you?
I don't know. We're not on a TED Talk, and I'm releasing this
Thanks
publicly.
Thanks for coming to my...
Theodore chat. My Theodore chat.
My Teddy scream.
Teddy discussion.
My Teddy yell.
Conversation. Did I already say conversation? Theodore... discussion. Chat. I'm so fucking tired.
Same.
My voice feels tired. I don't know if you can hear it, but...
Yeah,
I've heard it the entire time. The thing is, I'm not even sick. I don't have, like, congestion or cough or runny nose. Nothing.
Right.
I don't have a cold or anything. My ear just gets infected constantly.
Chop it off.
Fucking Van Gogh that shit.
Yeah. What's up? It just reminded me of the episode of... Two references to Bob's Burgers.
We're cutting Jean's ear off. What knife, Louise? Why do you have a knife?
Oh, I love Bob's Burgers. My mom told me earlier today that she wants to, because I just always reference Bob's Burgers all the time. And so, and my parents are obsessed with Linda. I know she's your least favorite character, but
they
are obsessed with her. And my mom has glasses that look very similar to her. So we always tell her she looks like Linda. And so she told me that over winter break, she just wants to binge watch Bob's Burgers, which is the greatest thing my mother could ever tell me, because I've watched every single episode of Bob's Burgers minus the like new episodes that are coming out at least 100 times. Like, I've watched every single episode. Like, you're the only other person that I've met who has watched Bob's Burgers as much, if not more, than I have.
Yeah, it's a little embarrassing, but...
But I think it's great.
It's okay. Well, that video that I'm working on, I thought I'd get sick of it because of the video, because I have to go through...
Yeah.
Also, this is, like, out of context, because I don't know what we're talking about, but basically, Addy sent me this video. It was, like, Bob's Burgers out of context, and it was the worst video I had ever seen in my life. So I took it upon myself to screen record every single episode of a season and make an out of context video of each season. And right now I'm halfway through episode one and it's like 12 minutes long.
Yeah.
Sorry. Yes. Season one. And it's 12 minutes long. So I'm going to make one for every single season, make an out of context.
Mind you, there's like 13 episodes in each season. So
no,
like...
there's 13 episodes in season one and there's like 20 in every other.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah,
I'm fucked. But
no, it's great.
It's good. I'm doing well.
It's so funny because it's actually out of context and it's actually like, I feel like
we're being smeared.
he's gonna eat us.
He's gonna eat us.
I'm sorry, I just thought about that.
It's a dead body.
After watching like the show so many times, like rewatching it through the lens of like trying to find out of context moments to send to you, I just realized how many like jokes and like, I don't know, like how many jokes just like go past my radar because I'm just so used to it at this point.
Right.
And it's so...
It's like when you sing, like when you memorize a song.
Yeah.
And you just sing it without even realizing like what you're saying.
Yeah. So good. Anyway, watch Bob's Burgers.
Like Jazzercise. That's my favorite. That's my favorite from that. The not like Jazzercise. It's like right in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Gyro. Like gyrate. Anyway, I'm going to let you do the spiel because I'm so dead inside.
Okay. This episode is brought to you by Muscles and Bones. Have a good day. Just
kidding. And doxycycline.
So, if you would like to contribute to our podcast and show us your support in a way that is more than just listening or interacting, you can find us on Patreon at patreon.com/yourworstnightmaretcp. We are hopefully going to be uploading some more content on there. We're trying to work that out, but hopefully at some point there will be more content, like extra content on there. I'm really excited for that. So you can donate there join our Patreon. You can also find us on Instagram at Your Worst Nightmare TCP. And you can find us on Twitter at Nightmare TCP. We couldn't get the your in there. It was copyrighted. Just kidding. And you can also... and oh, yeah. Sorry. Your Nightmare TCP.
Raw. You are my nightmare. And I'm kidding. I love you.
Oh my god, too.
Wait, speaking of nightmares, can I just talk about the nightmare I had last night? Because my insomnia meds give me wild dreams.
2 seconds. You can also email us at yourworstnightmaretcp@gmail.com. Okay, yes, tell us about your nightmare.
Okay, I'm sorry. I really need to get this out. I had a dream that for some reason I grew a penis, and I had a penis and a vagina, and I was so concerned because my mom was like, no, it's normal. Like, it happens to some people. Like, you know how, like, some people have wisdom teeth and some don't? Like, I don't have my wisdom teeth. It was, apparently it's like that. And so I, like, in my dream, I was in my old house that I lived in, like, that I grew up in. And I, like, was in the bathtub, and then I got out of the bathtub and I had a penis. And then all of my friends that are girls were like, we don't have penises. And it made me feel super uncomfortable. So then I tried to tuck it, like, drag queen style. But then, like, I woke up and my butt cheeks hurt. So why? For what?
I'm curious as to what triggered your subconscious to have this dream. Aw. Are you okay? After you woke up, were you okay?
Yeah.
I'm so sorry. I guess. I'm so sorry. I hope Frida barking in the background wasn't... whatever.
Whatever. It's whatever. They're probably used to it. We both have dogs.
Yeah. Frida, okay, sorry. I know we are supposed to have ended this, but Frida lately has been talking to us. Like, she's a very vocal dog, but never really was, like, that vocal. And lately, she, like, does this thing where if you either aren't paying attention to her or if you're staring right at her, she'll start barking at you. And she only ever barks when, like, me or my dad are talking. And then we also discovered the other day that when we're having dinner, she goes to the back door and she'll start barking, but we thought it was because she wanted to be let out. No, it's because she sees our reflection in the window and is barking at our reflection in the window.
Such a brat.
Brat. Absolutely a brat. Anyway, that's all I had to say. Completely unrelated.
I'm going to wrap this up. We're like, this is going to be a long ass episode compared to what we
Yeah, last time. It's fine.
We didn't even talk that much in the middle of the stories either, so.
Right. Well, thanks for listening.
Yes. And hopefully next week I'll be feeling better. It's to be decided whose story it's going to be next week, but.
If I can get ahead of my research, then I can do it. We can figure it out.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. Anyway, bye, guys.
Bye. See you next week. Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye.